Matthew, have you got the words of that? One morning they led Jesus up the mountain where they nailed him to a rugged dogwood tree. "It is finished," Jesus cried. "Ever since I'm satisfied, brother, you ain't seen the last of me." Many knows that song. That's good. Well, the rest is to learn it. It's good to learn a new song, isn't it? No, no, brother. Go ahead.
One morning they led
Jesus up the mountain where they nailed him to a rugged dogwood tree. "It is finished," Jesus cried. "Ever since I'm satisfied, brother, you ain't seen the last of me. Oh, there's gonna be a wake up, get up, great, get out of my way, gonna be a goodbye, oh, try, death couldn't make me stay. Farewells, and all your sad wells, from heaven for the land of the free. Brother, you ain't seen the last of me. If my loved ones ever gather round my bedside, and the doctor says his life's about to flee, if there's a Christian in the crowd, when I'm crossing, have no doubt, brother, you ain't seen the last of me. Oh, there's gonna be a wake up, get up, get out of my way, Lord. Chickasha River is residing, so I'm going. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord bless the song leader and the musicians tonight. And God bless each and every one. Let us turn to the Word of God tonight till Matthew 24, verse 45 to 51. And I want to take a saying. The bridegroom delayed. The bridegroom delayeth. Not delayed, delayeth. Delayed or delayeth. Now, Jesus actually never said that. But somebody that thought he had delayed said it. And it's the same now. Jesus has not delayed. But a lot of people are saying he has. Amen. Let's read this. Verse 45 of Matthew 24. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and to cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let's bow our heads tonight. Praise God. If you have a need, just lift your hand up to the Lord this evening. God bless you. God bless you. The Lord bless tonight. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the lovely name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you mean to us and for all you've done for us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we humbly approach you this evening and we ask that you will be in our midst tonight in a very special way, that we know the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I do take the Holy Ghost right now by faith. And I thank you that you undertake for me. I'm asking you for the hands raised, you meet every need, and answer prayer in Jesus' precious name. Lord, may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. May you cover us with your precious blood and close us in for a time tonight with your own self. Speak to your people in this room and those that would hear on the messages. And Lord, for any tonight that couldn't be here, bless and undertake. And Father, just have your way amongst us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. During the course of time, the bridegroom was delayed. The evil servant said in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. He did not come back at the time the church thought he would come. And I tell you, here is a doctrine tonight, and hear his words tonight. And this is not a doctrine of Jesus. This is a doctrine or a saying from a servant that thought the bridegroom delayed. For we know that God knows the very time, the very moment, the very instance when he will come. And when you hear people preaching, I know when the Lord is coming, you can put a sign above them, false. Straight away. The Lord will never come in any of the times they say. Because the Bible says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Now we could say we know of the season. And the reason we can say we know of the season is because of the scripture. For the scripture says, when you see the fig tree putting forth its leaves, know that it's nigh even at the door, Israel. But still, Israel's a nation a long time ago. And we're still waiting tonight on the coming of the Lord. Pastor asked me some years ago, my Hannah was a baby, And he said to me, I believe the Lord is coming soon. And I says, I do too, brother. And he says, when do you think he'll come? And I says, well, he's coming soon, but I believe my girls have left school and married before the Lord come. But I said, that's just my opinion. He says, I can't ever see it. But they're married tonight and they left school and we're still waiting. But here this servant, you see, he was waiting and he waited and he thought the Lord delayed his coming. The Lord didn't delay his coming. He said that. The servant said that. Luke 12, 45 to 46 says these words. Luke 12, 45. And if that servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, that servant, and shall begin to beat the manservants, maidservants to drink, and to be drunk, and the Lord of that servant will come in a day, and he looketh not for him in an hour when he's not aware of, and will cut him asunder and will appoint him his portion. Now you remember here, and reading these two scriptures, he will appoint him a portion. Portion's not the full thing. Portion's a bit of it. And I believe tonight many have started well. Many true believers have started on the road well, but they backslide. They let the cares of this world get in around them. They backslide. Some of them actually go back into the world and the things of the world. Some of them get so bad that you wouldn't even know they're saved, but they were saved. The Lord will come when they're not watching and they're not waiting. They will be appointed a portion. They will not go in the rapture. I don't believe they'll go in the rapture. Only those that's waiting and ready are going in. And I tell you, we need to be waiting and ready. It's not saved and lost. It just means they're going to go through the tribulation. But they cannot go in the rapture. And there's many tonight start well. And many of them start with a wee drink or two. And the wee drink or two goes from a wee drink or two to where they become alcoholics. And I hear so much today with the modern Christians. There's nothing wrong with a wee drink. And they'll all quote you, a little wine for your stomach's sake. But they won't quote you, he that giveth his neighbor strong drink, spew and follow him. They'll not quote you that. Wound that giveth his neighbor strong drink, they'll never quote that. Now I've seen what drink can do, and I have no time for drink. I'll tell you that right now. Because I know what it can do. Many in the early church, especially the Thessalonians, expected the Lord to return in their time, and Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians was written to the just are thinking on the Lord's coming. A time of delay is a time of testing. And many of us, I'm sure, here tonight, and those that's older than me, and I'm not, well, I'm still young, let me put it like that. I feel like a young fella still. But listen, many of us, how many thought the Lord would have come by now? Many people thought the Lord would have come by now. It's 2026. William Branham was convinced the Lord would come by 1970, but it didn't happen. Now, I know we've all the smart theologians around the message. They'll have all the interpretations and quotes to tell you something happened in 1970 and that was it and all, but that's all just some boy's idea. Let's just be honest about it. It didn't happen. Now, William Branham wasn't prophesying. He was saying, I think. Now, I could say to you tonight, I think the Lord will come, but it might not happen. But it didn't happen. But many times when it doesn't happen and people are built up for it happening, they get slack. And the Lord Jesus, the heavenly bridegroom, will come at the right appointed time. We know that. Many believers, it seems, the Lord is delaying his coming. But this is a test. What will they do in the apparent delay? What will they do? This is why I believe it's so important. This is why I believe for my own self, I'm praying, I'm seeing it. I want you to see it. I want you to get it. that we need to be so caught up and so enthused that we need to win people to Jesus Christ, that a lifetime will be gone and we won't be thinking of it. We'll be busy for the Lord. And then you won't have time to backslide. But you see, it says all the virgins slumbered and slept. Now that just doesn't mean the five foolish. You don't read that. You read the all. 10 of them slumbered and slept. And you know we're living in Laodicea. And people think God has sent a seven church age messenger. And because God has sent that messenger, we're in a time of rest. There's nothing we need to do. There's people preaching. They say there's nothing we need to do. We're in a time of rest. We're writing it now. We don't do a thing. Well, I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. I believe that's the armchair stuff. And I'll tell you what. We don't want to be armchair Christians. For the rapture will take place and we'll still be in the armchair. We need to be about the Lord's work. And if we claim we are the bride of Jesus, let me tell you this here. Here's a doctrine for you. We'll start it here tonight. And you can say, Tommy McKinstry started it. Because there's a lot of doctrines, and if you don't believe it, you're not in, you're not part of it. You know that. Well, I'll tell you one. What about the doctrine if you have no vision for souls? Something's wrong with you. How could the bride of Jesus Christ not have a vision for the lost? If she is Mrs. Jesus Christ, and God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and God is love, then that bride has to be love. And a prophet said, without perfect love, you cannot enter. And if we have that love, we will love the lost, and we'll want to see them saved. But all these virgins, and this period of waiting, a spirit of slumber and sleep fell on all the virgins. And this is not a sleep as death. The wise and the foolish fell into the sleep. This was not the sleep of rest. There's a difference in the slumber. There is a rest God can give you. I believe that. But this is not it that I'm talking about. This is the devil. This is his one. Did you know in a meeting, in an actual meeting, sometimes people can fall asleep because they're actually tired. That's true, but there's other times the devil puts people asleep. The devil. Do you realize that? Well, that I believe that. I know you'll be looking at my eyes and not fall asleep on me, but anyhow. But I'm but serious. You ever go, there's real good preaching, and the next thing everybody's sleeping, something's wrong. But there is a sleep that comes on people. You know Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, and they fell asleep on the way. You know that's one of the best books ever written. But the sleep of lethargy, this is the sleep. The sleep and slumber, the spiritual drowsiness, unwatchfulness. This is the type of sleep that the pastor preaches, but don't need a prayer meeting. This is the sleep I'm talking about. This is the type of sleep for the minister preaches. The gifts are on the shelf. We don't need them no more. This is all to do with that sleep. This is the type of sleep that produces these dead doctrines. And they are dead. But there's not life in them. This is what it produces. Sleep of slumber. Scripture gives plenty of warning against this type of sleep. Even Zechariah had to be awakened out of his sleep with an angel. Zechariah 4, verse 1 to 2. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that's wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked and behold a candlestick of gold and a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lamps are on and seven pipes and seven lamps which are upon the top of it. But the angel waked him out of his sleep. And can we not honestly say in the 20th century that God sent the seventh angel with a message? Now I know that the devil's doing his best to ruin it, but there's still a true message. And it doesn't take us away from Scripture. It runs us to the Bible, and it glorifies Jesus. And the power of God's in it. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit follow it everywhere it goes, because it's the same as it was at Pentecost.
Hallelujah.
And just as the angel wakened Zechariah, we've been awakened. And you know the Bible says there shall be light at the evening time. But how many are night to night sleeping? There's people sleeping in churches. You could get up and preach and you could infant baptize and they would sleep through it. You could call the three titles and sleep through it. You could have women up preaching and the men sitting listening to them, they'd sleep through it. They're sleeping. But God's got a group of people that's not sleeping. They've been awakened out of their slumber. And they've trimmed their lamps, for they know they've heard the midnight cry. The disciples had to be awakened out of sleep on the Mount of Transfiguration in order to see the glory of the Lord Jesus and Moses and Elijah that was with them. Luke 9, 28 to 32. This is so interesting. The Lord awakened these fellas. They never seen the half of it. I'll tell that right now. And when they did get awakened, and when they seen what they did see, what did they want to do? They wanted to get some denominations built. But the voice from above spoke, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." In other words, don't be building anything to Moses or Elijah. Don't build nothing to Moses or Elijah. You don't need their names on no buildings. But you need to glorify Jesus Christ. You need to hear him. But we can see it today as plain. Sure, it's absolutely before us. Let me read you this from verse 28 of Luke 9. "And it came to pass about the 8th day after these signs, he took Peter and John and James, and they went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there was taught with him two men, which were Moses, and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awaked, they saw his glory and two men that stood with him." They had to be awakened. They were having a vision. Now listen to me this evening. I hear a lot of talk in modern Christianity. "Oh, if God would visit us with lights and angels and all, wouldn't it be wonderful?" He has done it, but they were sleeping. Let's get this as a fact. Let's get this as an absolute fact tonight. And this meeting. These fellas were with the Lord. And you say that preaching wasn't great and they fell asleep. It wasn't life. These fellas is with the Lord Jesus himself in the slept. Now if you're going to sleep with the Lord, what chance is an ordinary fella? None whatsoever. Here's a visitation here and they're sleeping. They're sleeping. And I tell you, God in the 20th century visited his church. And he stamped with the approval that he was visiting, and his light came in the meetings, and his glory came, and the secret of the churning hearts came, and they still slept. And you'll hear that wee prophet William Branham saying, "They won't cross the streets of Jeffersonville tonight to see this. They won't even come across the street to see it." And if he come back tonight, let's tell the truth now. If he come back tonight and preach the way he always did preach, most of them claim they're part of it, they wouldn't want them, because they were a bigger denomination than the ones they preached against. These disciples here were with the Lord. The Lord had awakened them. And I tell you, if the Lord doesn't awaken us, we will all sleep. Let me tell you that. It is only the grace of God that awakens any one of us. And it's only the grace of God that shows us the things we see. Prophets and priests and kings have desired to see these things. Jesus says, "But the heaven, but you're blessed, you've seen them." Look at the wee fellow was with Elijah. Boys, he said, "Look at this army. We're beat. We're defeated." But the man of God opened his eyes. He prayed. And God opened the young man's eyes. He seen the chariots and the horses. But before they were closed, he couldn't see it. And that's the way it is in this last church age. These same disciples, Peter and John, had to be awakened in Gethsemane. When they should have been praying with the Master, they had to be awakened. They had to be awakened. And I tell you, I'm not ridiculing the disciples tonight. And don't you think you would fall asleep. I probably would have. But I'm telling you this, that the Lord awakened them then on the mount. And the Lord awakened them here at Gethsemane. And God in the 20th century will have a people that he awakens. And may God shake us tonight. I mean spiritually. Look at Matthew 26, 37 to 46. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, finding them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why, we all know that's the truth tonight. Isn't that right? He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, may this cup, except I drink, thy will be done. Verse 43, and it came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. 44, and he left them and went again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep now on, take your rest, behold, the hour's at hand, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, it is at hand that doth now betray me. Fell asleep 3 times. 3 times. Now I hear people today, and they say they're small gods. That's what they claim, but I'll tell you what, they're sleeping. Sleeping on the job. And then with other people, and they claim one man's the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have that one man, you haven't got the Holy Spirit. All that stuff is false. Amen. That proves to me they are asleep. Amen. That proves it. Because if they were awakened, the Holy Spirit would speak in them and show them that is false. Because you go to the book of Corinthians, says we're all baptized into one body. All of us by one Spirit. Many members, one body. And the hand can never say to the foot, I don't need you. And the ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. Every member's needed. But when somebody comes and tells us that they're not, then we know something's wrong. Somebody has fell asleep. And the people around them sleeping. And they're clapping their hands. And they're amening. And they're clapping and amening stuff that should not be ever clapped or amen. Absolutely false. Rome has nothing on them. And I wouldn't like to get started in them tonight because I would give them the full works. For they deserve it. Antichrist system. But what about these movements that have had the truth? But the devils get in. And I'll tell you how it started if you want to know. How it started is there was too many people getting into pulpits that God never called. And because they were maybe a school teacher, or they thought they could talk well or read well, they must be preachers. Well, God don't work like that. Remember the prophet God chose at a 7th grade education. He couldn't talk well and all them things. He wasn't a smart man, I tell you, if he was here. But God used him because he was called. Wigglesworth couldn't even talk. He stuttered. And God used him. He was called. God takes the foolish things to confound the mighty. But men, you see, they want their Bible colleges and their education. That's why William Branham said it's after the devil. People got at him for it. You cannot educate God into somebody. It's by revelation. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, Peter. And if you read the earlier scripture for Moses and Elijah appeared, them disciples said, Lord, let us build two tabernacles up here, three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. And the voice boomed from heaven. That must have been some voice. And that voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Hear the Lord Jesus. Paul told the Roman believers that it was high time to awake out of sleep because salvation was nearer than when they first believed. And I tell you, it's closer to the coming of the Lord tonight than it's ever been before. Romans 13, 11 and 12. And that knowing that the time, that now it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the darkness. Light has no fellowship with darkness. Well, my buddies want me to go to the pub and have a drink or two, but I won't be going. Because you see, I'm a saved person, a believer. Now, if I'm going into the pub to witness, that's a different account. But to go and sit with them and drink, why would a Christian do that? That's the light's no fellowship with darkness. Come out from amongst them. That's what the Bible says. And why would we sit in a place that doesn't believe the things that's truth that we know is truth? The Bible says, come out. Come out from amongst them. And be ye separate, says the Lord. Amen. But people's easy offended today, aren't they? You don't say a thing to them. And it's like I said at the funeral, when you preach the simple gospel, there'll be people there and be thanking the Lord, and there'll be other people saying, we didn't need to hear that today. Who does he think he is? And they'll eat you alive with their mouth, even if it's in secret. God sees everything. But you have to do it. You have to do it. If you're really called, you have to do it. Why? Because blood will be required at your hands. Look what Paul said to the Thessalonians believers in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 to 8. I'm going to read it. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Now, you don't know when the thief comes, do you? No. He comes at a time that you think not. I know everybody knows when the Lord comes. I know people's the dates never hang. Well, you can take all them dates and I can guarantee you they're all wrong. Now, if you're going to tell me God visited on a certain date, I'll say amen. I believe that. God did visit the earth on certain dates, absolutely. We could name them. All the dates God visited, we believe that. But the actual coming of the Lord, we cannot give you a date. Because only the Father in heaven knows. But the one thing we can tell you is when we see the signs of the times. What day is it, sirs? What time is it, sirs? We know we're at the time when the Lord's coming. And when I say the Lord's coming, I'm not talking about his presence. I'm not talking about his word opening. I'm talking about the rapture when we're caught up to meet the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Don't get confused tonight. And then what about when we come back with him? King and queen. Stand on the Mount of Olives. Verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Amen. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And there's a spiritual drunkenness. Do you know this? I know Brother John preached on years ago. You know the woman that has the cup? That's Rome. She's the cup of the wine of fornication in her heart. And all the churches are drinking from it, and they're drunk with it. How many knows that's the Bible truth? when you study Revelations. And here the Lord's telling us he'll have a people. They won't be drunk out of that cup. They'll be sober. Sober to come unto the Lord. There's a good friend of mine wrote a book. It's called Sober Saints. Now, I've never actually read it, so I can't tell you all what he has in it. But he's a real good brother that wrote it. And it's called Sober Saints. But I'll tell you one thing, spiritually, God's coming for sober saints. Now there is someone we're to be drunk with. It's a spiritual wine of revelation. That's a different thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the drunkenness of Rome. The doctrines that are false. The cup of fornication. And all the kings there have drunk from it. How many in our families tonight are sleeping, unsaved? They're sleeping. And oh, I would that God would waken them. You know, in the morning, you have the alarm clock set. And you get up, every time you get up, we're up at 5:30 in the morning. The alarm goes. Some mornings I don't hear it because I'm already woke. Maybe at 5:20. And then there's some mornings I do need it. The wife has to hit me in the ribs. Time to get up. You're joking me. No, I'm not. 5:30 in the morning. Now, when I worked in the bakery, it could have been 4:00. It could have been even earlier. But I'll tell you, we need wakened in the natural. And we need wakened in the spiritual. And the unsaved needs wakened. And if it takes a message, preach the needed. Ephesians 5, verse 14 to 18 says this. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine. Oh, but I thought you told me a minute ago I could drink. Oh, somebody tell you that. But I'll tell you, when you're working with the Bible, you need to read all of it, not just the verse that suits you. It's the same with the message. You see people today that take William Branham's message on Facebook and all these places, and they chop out a wee piece, and they chop out another wee piece, and they chop out. The BBC done that with President Donald Trump, and you know what happened to them. Took him to court. Because they made him say things he never said. Now, this is not a story. This is reality. This is true. And I'll tell you one thing. When you're talking about the Word of God, there's a warning in Revelations. We're not to add to it nor take from it. And just in the natural as a court day, there will be a spiritual court day for those that splice the Word of God and change the Word of God. That's why he says, don't change it. Don't change it. How many today is changing it? They've only done a wee bit in and it's changed. Or they take a wee bit that he says in the message, but he further explains it, they leave it out. And then they preach something that suits their own idea. Oh, but we got it from the message. Well, that's good. I'm glad you got it from the message. But I want you now to take it back to the Bible. The absolute. And if it doesn't dovetail from Genesis to Revelation, I won't believe it. This is our absolute in this pulpit, the Bible. Amen. Yes. Can you amen that the Bible's your absolute tonight? Maybe it's not. There's some places don't have it as their absolute. And there's one place, and they tell their people to stay away from the Bible. That's Rome. And how many people were killed for the Bible? But every man that God sent, one of them in particular said, I would that the ploughboy and girl would have the Bible. And that they'd have no more about the Word of God than any priest in Rome. And God done it. That's the thing, God done it. Wherefore be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And you could spiritualize that. God doesn't want us drunk with false teachings. But he wants us to be filled with the true thing. I'm finishing in a moment, my time's gone. The midnight cry. Now, I have so many scriptures I want to share in this, but I won't because the time's gone. Midnight. Here's what I've wrote. The darkest hour of the night is actually midnight. When people are in the deepest kind of sleep they should be, that is significantly, it spiritually speaks of the end of the age, midnight. And I tell you, we're at the end of the age. It's approaching midnight, isn't it? Approaching midnight. The theme of the midnight hour runs through the Bible. There's a theme of midnight that runs all through the Bible. I'm just going to mention a couple, then I'm closing. But you could do a study on it. Midnight. Exodus 11, verse 4. Look at the midnight hour. Look what happened. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight, I will go out into the midst of Egypt. When? Midnight. Exodus 12, 29. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, upon the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. Those that weren't under the blood were smote with God's divine justice at midnight. Judgment came. You realize the tribulation will come in. It'll shock them. And the true bride of Jesus Christ that's waiting, ready for the Lord, their lamps trimmed and burning, filled with oil, they're going. They're going to have nothing to do. The Lord's going to take them. They're going. They're going to be changed. The graves is going to open. The true saints is coming out. They're coming out. They're coming in. And they're coming up. Come up hither. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, it's near. The coming of the Lord is near. Midnight. Those that did not have the blood suffered divine justice. Samson took the gates of the city, Judges 16:3. And Samson lay till midnight. He struck at midnight. When people were fast asleep, he struck. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus, as the scripture says, it might be at midnight when he comes again. Yes, Ruth the bride was to be found at the feet of Boaz, kinsman redeemer. When? Ruth 3:8, midnight. Midnight. May we be found at the feet of the Master at midnight. You follow me tonight? Midnight. Midnight can be a time of peace. Midnight can be a time of trouble. Christ should come at the hour of midnight. Some people say, I don't believe the Lord will come at midnight. Well, then I'm going to read you Mark 13, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh at evening or at midnight or the cock crow in the morning. In other words, he can come any time at all, but the time you're saying, he'll not come then. That's when he'll come. Oh, he wouldn't come at that time. That's the time he could come. The time you're going to tell me he won't come is the time he could come. I'll tell you, this cry went forth. We need to be ready. Ready for the coming of the Lord. Ready for the catching up. Our loved ones need to be ready. We need to keep praying for them. If we are the bride of Jesus Christ, many people boast around the world. You'll hear them. We are part of the bride. We are the bride. Now, I'm not knocking that tonight. But I'll tell you what. If we're the bride and people claim we're the bride, I want to see some love for the unsaved. I want to see love showed towards them. I want them to hear the message of salvation. I want to see praying for them. But this business of forget about them, bunch of dirt type attitude, how can that be the bride when Jesus went the whole way to the cross, deceived, denying his own self that they could live? That's an attitude from somewhere else, not from the Lord. And that's ripe today. And people today, it's all for me. All me. And they're preaching's all me. That's all the bride, but what about the bridegroom? You can preach the bride, preaching the bride will save nobody, but when you preach the bridegroom, you're going to have some success. There's a scripture that says, if I be lifted up, Jesus Christ, not the bride. He needs to be lifted up. If we're part of it, thank the Lord. But who much is given, much is required. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you if you have a wife or if you have a son or a daughter, and I have. And I'm preaching this to myself as well. I want to see them saved. Oh, but Brother Thomas, not by works. No, it's not, but your works proves your faith. And if you tell me you're ready and there's no works, I'll be doubting it. Because your works proves your faith. And the Bible says, let us work while it's day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Amen? And I tell you, we need to be going forward. Praying for our loved ones. They mightn't come into this meeting. Say, they mightn't come in. I've been trying to get some in. They mightn't want to come in. But I'll tell you one thing works, prayer. If prayer can bring a young woman that's in drink, if prayer, continual prayer, can make her hear a voice that talks to her in a pub and tells her to get out of here and get to church, if prayer can do that, years ago it can do it again. If God can visit somebody in a jail cell, God can visit your son or your daughter. I don't care where they are. God can go to them. That's why the Holy Spirit's not just one person. That's in one place at one time. I do not believe that for one minute. That's false teaching. The Holy Spirit cannot be contained. The heavens of heaven can't contain him. He's everywhere. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit can go to your loved ones. He can move on your son. He can move on your daughter. If they're sick tonight, let me tell you, if your loved ones is laying sick tonight, I want you to believe God tonight. You believe the Lord tonight, God can touch them where they are. You need to believe it. Let's stand on our feet tonight. We're going to pray, and Brother Gary's going to come and end the moment. His sisters are going to go, and we'll get some chairs out and have a wee cup of tea and say farewell to David. And Sister Carol's going for a wee holiday. The Lord bless her. Boys, I know I keep saying it, but I'm saying it again. Dave, watch yourself. I'll tell you. And you say, Tom, you shouldn't say New Zealand needs preaching. Why not? Share the truth. Amen. Everywhere needs it. England needs it. This country here needs it too. Oh, it's just full of churches. I'm not talking about churches. I'm talking about men sent from God. Not sent from a college. From God. There's a big difference. We all need it. Amen. Oh, that God would get a hold of young men. What about the older men? Them as well. But I tell you, when God gets you young, when you give your life to the Lord when you're young, it's great. I regret that I didn't serve him sooner. Wasted years. Wasted about 3 years for the devil. But may God help me to redeem them. Let's close our eyes tonight. And if there's a young person in this room, I want to specifically want you to close your eyes. If God is talking to you, I want you to lift your hand up before God tonight. God bless you, son. God is real. I'm going to pray, and then if you have a loved one tonight, my, I feel it real strong tonight. Don't you question, maybe God, you think God didn't answer a prayer for somebody. God can touch your loved one. You can believe it here in this meeting, and God can do it right over wherever they are, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lift your hand as well. If there's someone tonight and you have a loved one, God bless you. That you're standing in for, God bless you. God can touch them. God bless you. God bless you. God can do it. God bless you. God is real. And I want you to really think about them. And pray with me. And Sister Rita in Scotland, she's not too well. And we're going to pray for Sister. I know she's an old woman, but God bless her. She's had a great testimony. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, that the servant said you had delayed. And Lord, the sanguine song, even when Lazarus was in that grave, that you were 3 days late. But Lord, you weren't late. You were on time every time. You're the one that produced time and made time. Time and eternity came together at Calvary. And you stepped out of eternity and you came into time. And you come down till our abode and you reached us. And you touched us because you loved us. Father, I'm asking you for young people. Even if someone's listening to this message. Lord, we need young men, young women. With your hand coming upon them. Telling them as the Father sent me, so send I you. May the Holy Ghost come mightily upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, fill in them. Empowering them, O God, for your service. Lord, I'm asking you for the hands raised tonight of loved ones. Young woman afflicted, young man afflicted, an older person afflicted. Father, we send your word tonight. Lord, you said you sent your word and you healed them. While you talked to that man that was in charge of so many soldiers, while you spoke with him, his servant was healed, the self-same hour. Said he wasn't worthy that you would come under his roof, but only speak the word. Lord, we are not you tonight, but we are your representatives. Lord, you said if we are to speak a thing and believe it and it'll happen. We are to ask it in your name and it'll come to pass. And we're asking that you'll send your word and heal the sick tonight and touch them, O God, and bind every work of the devil off them. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we claim your blood again on all of our loved ones, on our sons, on our daughters, on the husband, on the wife, on the niece, on the nephew, on the brother, on the sister. Lord, may they be under that blood that when you come, they'll be ready to go, Lord Jesus. Grant us your mercy. Lord, if I've said anything amiss or out of place, forgive me. Wouldn't mean or want to do it, but I pray you'll fill my lungs with your power and your anointing. Help me to preach and declare the true gospel in Jesus' precious name. Father, for those at the funeral service that did hear the gospel, Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost will speak on and move on them, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Father, have your way in our lives. Help us to be the men and women that you want us to be in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come and sing a couple of songs, and then maybe the sisters can prepare, and we'll prepare this end. And the Lord bless, and we do say, take our greetings with you as you go. Carl and David to the fellowship there, and the brother there, Derek. I must be at least 90 now, in his 90s. Him and Ed Biscoe was the same age, and I know Brother Biscoe's went on. And Dirk Donaldson, great, great, great man. Wonderful man, you know, when he preaches on the gospel. And I'll tell you what, that man sat in his living room, and I had something going on in my life. And he sat and went through the whole thing. Everything about it. I never told him nothing. Now he wasn't getting up and saying he was prophesying or tongues or nothing. But he just started talking and he just went off. And he just kept going off on everything. And it was the Lord talking to me. And God gave me instructions. And them instructions was real simple. I had an issue that I was praying, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? And I'll have to do this, and I'll have to do that, and I'll have to do something else. And he told me about it, someone that he had working. He just went and prayed about it. And you know, his son was away from the Lord. Away from the Lord. Wasn't going to the meetings. But he walked the roads. And he prayed for him and he kept on praying for him. And that son now is a pastor. God just didn't save him, but he brought him right in. And I tell you, prayer is a secret. And sometimes you might think, I'll go and I'll do this and I'll do that. But that might not be God's will. But praying is. God bless you.
Come ahead, Brother Perry. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God. Wouldn't you take your seats, praise God? I want to try and sing a song for Carol. Well, we're singing it for the Lord, but Carol likes it. As one she had requested a while ago. I'd like to wish you all the best as you go, and God bless you and give you all traveling mercies. And David, do you remember where you come from? This fellowship that we preach Christ crucified. And take that with you everywhere you go.
Amen.
You know, Brother Rock used to say it. He probably heard it from somewhere else as well. But always remember talking about the postman. And about the man and the woman that loved each other was far away. And the man sent the woman the love note. And the postman delivered it. He says, wouldn't you get a queer surprise if you've been into the woman's house and you had the house plastered with pictures of the postman? And when she started to talk to you, she started to tell you about the postman. You would think that it was the postman sent her the letters. Wasn't he? He was only the postman. And you remember, brother, when you go, as the Lord Jesus Christ, be like that salmon who goes against the flow. You present the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere and uplift him. Because anything else where Jesus Christ is not the preeminence, where he hasn't got the preeminence, is Antichrist. And you may go somewhere, I know there'll be good fellowships, but don't be deceived. Just continue on the truth, and I hope you still tune in to hear back home. I know you've got a couple of homes. You've one in Scotland as well, but you've come to know this place as your home. Tune in then again and see what the Lord's doing over here as well, and what he's saying. We're going to try and sing this song. Carol, I know you liked it. You had requested it. I know not why the sovereign king would leave his throne on high to dwell here in this barren land with mortals such as I. He left. Sorry. All right. He left his home in paradise, a while never know, but his precious blood has made me purer than the virgin snow. We have sang it before, but had lost the guitar chords. We had to write it out again. But we'll give it a go, and then we'll sing another one.
I know not why the sun thank you.
Well, we'll sing one more before we close. He walked in Galilee, he died for you and me. Yes, he came to set us free. Pardon me. Amen. Let's stand on our feet then. And then I'll ask Brother John if he'll close in prayer first.